Call the meeting to order. This is the regular meeting of the Cambria Community Services District. If you'd stand and join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Did some contract negotiations and discussed a claim, but there's no formal action to report.
Thank you. We'll go to item number two, special reports. Sheriff's Department, Senior Deputy Todd Steve.
Good afternoon. Let's open this up without hitting the mic here. Good afternoon. Senior Deputy Todd Steve with the Sheriff's Office. Reporting for last month's statistics, we had 241 calls for service in the Cambria area, of which 46 of those were EMS requiring fire or ambulance response. Myriad of trespassing and vandalism calls, suspicious subject, some audible alarms. The deputies met with the commander, and due to the burglary attempts in Cambria, beefed up foot patrol in those areas, so we had a myriad of extra foot patrols in those neighborhoods. Runaway juvenile, lots of traffic stops, a few noise complaints. In regards to the burglary and the suspect that's been entering the residences here in Cambria, the suspect has been identified. However, no arrests have been made because the suspect was not caught with anything in his possession and was not caught on the property. And a positive ID couldn't be made. The deputy got the report, was actually there within a couple of minutes, got a clothing description, and a gentleman matching that general description with that clothing was located just a couple blocks away in the bushes. However, no probation or parole activity on him, and we didn't have any reason to hold him. So it's kind of the way those things roll sometimes. However, since that person's been identified, gee whiz, no more burglaries. So He's being stopped at every turn left or right by deputies. So, and then the last thing I have is that the Sheriff's Advisory Council, along with the Cambria Chamber of Commerce, are inviting the public to meet Sheriff Parkinson in a town hall meeting Tuesday, June 14th, 2011, from 6 to 7:30, right across the street at the Cambria Rabobank. He's done several of these. I believe he has 10 total throughout the county. He's done Oceana, Napomo, North County. I'm going with him to one, I believe, next week up in the Heritage Ranch area since I'm assigned up there on the boat. So the sheriff basically wants to know what's important to your community. You can meet him along with Under Sheriff Basti and our coastal commander, Commander Jason DeForest. So you'll have the top three, one star, three star, and four star, all available for you guys to talk. I won't be there. I am taking a vacation.
Is the word on the street was that there was jewelry stolen from one person's house.
I don't have that report? My notes, no, but I can look that up for you. I have 241 calls that I have to read.
I appreciate that, but I read some of the Bay News, and you look at the roster. We don't get that in our community newspaper. And Mike, I think either you or the prior sheriff that Deputy Sheriff has come, is that people should be advised, lock your doors, because some people leave the doors open.
Yeah.
Cars need to be locked. This is not, although it's paradise to us, it's opportunity for other people.
That's a very good point,
Thank you.
Frank. Basically, what these people are doing and what this gentleman was doing was going up onto porches and shaking doors. And then we do the same thing at night. People will just go down the street and they'll just try car doors till they find something. They'll enter the car, be in there less than 30 seconds. And they'll just take whatever they can get their hands on. So, yeah, we do live in paradise. I remind people all the time, my door is always locked in my residence. It just takes a couple of seconds to enter a residence. And what he'll do is he'll go up, shake the door, wait a few minutes. Nobody comes to the door, then he'll enter the residence. So.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
That moves us to item number three, which is a presentation. And acknowledgments. Today we have the honor to honor a very special a group of members of the California National Guard. And in keeping with the upcoming Memorial Day, this is a very appropriate time. So we have a resolution that I will read and present. And so what I'm going to do is go out here to the to the rostrum and invite up three. We have three members. We have three members from the California National Guard Honor Guard Team Number 11, and so I'll go out there and take care of it. That's Ross. We'll come up this way here, so let the press close. The presentation is the Cambria Community Services District Proclamation honoring California Army National Guard Honor Guard Team Number 11. It's dated May 20th. 12 Honor Guard teams to conduct appropriate military honor ceremonies at funerals for veterans, active duty service members, and retirees. And whereas the California Honor Guard Team 11 is based at Camp San Luis Obispo and consists of Staff Sergeant Kurt Griffin, who's here, Sergeant Stephanie Villa, Sergeant Mike Herschel Wells, wasn't able to make it today, Specialist Andrew Park, Second Lieutenant Christopher Malloy, Private First Class Louis Garza, who is here with us, and Private First Class Kaylee Smith, and Cadet Timothy Nicolazzo. And whereas California Honor Guard Team 11 provides military honors at approximately 360 funeral services per year in San Luis Obispo County and Santa Barbara County for fallen veterans, active duty members, and retirees of armed forces, with the support and cooperation of local veteran service organizations, including American Legion Post 432. And whereas California Honor Guard Team 11 is highly trained, professional, and a credit to all branches of the armed forces, now therefore, by virtue of the authority vested in me as president of the board of directors and on behalf of the entire board, CCSD staff, and all Cambrians, on this day of May 26, 2011, do hereby honor and commend California Honor Guard Team 11 for providing appropriate, professional, and dignified military honors for fallen veterans, active duty members, and retirees of the Armed Forces of the United States. Signed, Merle Ann Clift and Kathy H. Choate, Director, District Clerk. And so, Sergeant Griffin. Thank you very much, sir. If you want to say something, you can. You might give them a quick deal of what you do.
My name is Sergeant Villa Stephanie. I just want to say that it is truly an honor to be part of the California State Honor Guard, and I'm sure that it's an honor for all of us. It's every single one is different, and it's special to us, and we really appreciate this resolution, and we thank you for it very much.
Thank you.
I told Jerry Grubin when I introduced myself as we were coming in that I wanted to speak so I could explain that he had made a fool of me 2 weeks ago, and he sort of took it offense at that, but I assured him that I had never been happier to be wrong. I don't know how many of you saw it, but in the May 12th Cambrian, I had a letter to the editor. Bert Etling had given it the title, Give Them Time. And I talked about the fact, which was partly an idea stolen from Mahalo Burton, who sent me an email saying, but for right now, let's just take a deep breath, allow the dust to settle, and take into consideration the changes that may naturally occur at the CCSD, now that Jerry Gruber is in there. That's where I felt foolish, because they published it in the May 12th Cambrian, and you open the May 12th Cambrian, and between the time I wrote the letter and submitted it and the time it came out, the whole front page is about Gruber declining a pay raise. You go to page 3, and let's see what. I need my glasses for this one. Gruber also said he's working toward reinstating fire volunteers Dennis DeClerc and Dexter Upton. Page 4, there's a big article, CCSD expands office hours, maybe just a small technical thing when you see it in the paper that way, but boy, to the people of Cambria, that makes a difference. And the fact that Uber also plans to not fill the now vacant utility manager post and do that job himself, since he has the expertise for that. But that's only the beginning. The next week, you pick up the Cambrian, and again, the front page. Miller Time again, this very, very heartwarming photo of Fire Chief Miller coming into the first day back at work. There was one other thing I wanted to point out about that one. Oh, yes. There's a little article accompanying it by Kathy Tanner in which she says, and under it, in the little caption, it says, Gruber is out of sight or out of the line of vision on the left-hand side of the photograph. So he wasn't even trying to get in the picture. I understand from some of my friends, Mr. Gruber, that you actually answer emails that people send you. I don't know. All I can say is, Jerry Gruber, you're a breath of fresh air. And I also talked in that article about how I hoped, in that letter to the editor, that I hoped that Mr. McKinnon and Mr. D'Amico would start doing some of the following through on some of the very interesting questions they've asked during discussions in the CCSD meetings. I've seen things on tape that show they weren't taking anybody else's word for it. It looked like they wanted to protest from time to time. And I also noted that our two new members, Berenger and Thompson, have a reputation in the community for being really stand-up guys. So I have great hopes that you'll give Jerry Gruber the support he needs, and we'll give you the support you need, and get away from this feeling about being on opposite sides of a war, this feeling that we're lawyers facing each other across a courtroom. And maybe we can just all have high expectations, and I hope you won't let us down. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Ron Crumpen.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the board. What a beautiful Cambria afternoon. It's too bad we can't reconvene in the parking lot. We have to be here. Echoing the lovely lady that spoke before me, I congratulate Jerry on your taking over the leadership of the CSD office, and wish you a lot of luck, and as well to Chief Miller, that he's back on the job. It seems like it echoes a fresh start for every situation. 10, 15, 20 will serve letters. Of course, it depends on the water. We have to have enough water. It seems as if we do have a lot of water, much more situation now than it was 10 years ago when the other board voted to lock the situation up. But there's 666 people on that wait list, and if we could find it some way to make sure that our own water for our own needs and our own residences and commercials, entities and fire, that we have more than enough, that we might consider releasing some of these people. I think it is a legal obligation, but equally important, I think it's a moral obligation. These people have been patient, So far, they haven't sued. They haven't put us under any difficulties. They've been patiently waiting, and I would encourage you to consider their situation as you move along in this new, fresh day that we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. Next person is Bruce, and I'm, is it Fosdyke? I didn't, couldn't read the spelling. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Probably my writing. Bruce Fosdyke. Okay. I just wanted to kind of come up and speak on something. With all the other events that have been happening in the last 30 days, this is probably old news, but I had recently seen some publications and things like that that spoke of the water department releasing meters for monetary purposes to try to raise money, and my concern was that it doesn't weigh one side or another whether people on the wait list get their meters or whatnot. All my concern is that if we don't have any changes since they put the moratorium in effect, unless we're looking at more reserves or having another source, why would we consider adding meters for something other than those needs? It concerns me because being able to be able to serve the residents that are currently there. Again, I'm going to say that I'm not against the people that are trying to get their meters. I wholeheartedly support their efforts. But I'm concerned that, you know, maybe we have water this year and next year and the next 2-3 years. But as you have, if you've lived in California long enough, we will have another drought. We will have another water shortage. And then what do we say then? Oh, well, you know, at the time we had plenty of meters. We had plenty of water. Let's just give it away. My concern is that if we don't have any kind of a replentiful source, then we shouldn't be considering anything changes. And it seems like we need to look elsewhere for financial or monetary ways of raising money rather than selling meters at a higher rate. And I won't even get into that. But just wanted to bring it up for consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. I have two more here. Amanda Reich.
Thank you, President Clift. Amanda Rice, Cambria. First thing I'd like to do is say amen to everything that Ms. Vance Hyde said. I have the utmost respect for her and her well-spoken thoughts were definitely ringing true in my ears, and letting the dust settle and seeing what comes of new management is a really good thing to do, and hopefully there will be enough time to build some of that into what's happening with the budget and with outreach and planning for the future, like a longer range, and including the community in that conversation. And everything I've seen so far says that Mr. Gruber is the kind of man that will be able to help the board do that. Because we do need to know what is the future of Cambria look like. I think that there's a lot of different views of what that is, and that conversation needs to really be started back up. It has been 3,479 days since the moratorium was declared, and a lot has happened in the meantime, including our water use has gone down significantly, even though we've added additional homes. You can look at the history of the water production, and it's gone down significantly. We don't have the other side of the equation, which is we don't know how much water we can actually get without affecting the environment from those two creeks, and I think that's an important thing to look at. Just like we don't have the income side of the income and expenditures when we look at the financial picture, at least at the meetings. And it would be good to know that. Because right now we're using about half of what the Coastal Commission has agreed as would be permitted from the two creeks. I just like to close with a quotation. Somebody always has said it better than I have. The most erroneous stories are those we think we know best and therefore never scrutinize or question.
Thank you. I have one other here. Janine Jacobs, did you want to wait until the actual decel discussion? Okay, that's what I wasn't clear. Any other, no other public comments? All right, we will go to then agenda review. Any additions or deletions or pulled items?
I would like to pull 7A.
7A. Okay. And I want to move item 9B up to the first of the regular business. I'm going to put that ahead of the of 9A, so that if we get into a time crunch, Mr. D'Amico will still be available for comments. Any other changes? If not, then we will move on to 6A, Manager's Report. General Manager Gruber, welcome, and you have a star performance now.
I'd like to thank the community and the board and staff for their vote of confidence for me as general manager. And I'd like to welcome Chief Miller back. Chief and I work very well together. I'm looking forward to working collaboratively with the chief. Just briefly to go over my general manager's report, the executive committee did meet prior to the draft budget being brought to the board for consideration, the 2011-2012 budget that we'll be discussing later on today. That budget has significant dollars set aside for maintenance of the wastewater and water facilities. So you'll see that as part of the discussion today under the budget agenda item. As indicated earlier, that the utilities manager position, we don't plan on filling that this year within this fiscal year, so there's going to be some savings there. Just want to clarify something in my general manager's report regarding the master fee schedule. In my effort to be enthusiastic, I guess the $12,500 is in the proposed budget. It is not within this year's budget. So technically, the board will need when they approve the budget in their June meeting, then we can move forward with the master fee schedule. The master fee schedule is going to give us the opportunity to evaluate all the fees that we currently charge, including the fees for this facility, and so hopefully we can get a real good cost estimate on really what it takes for us to provide service to the community. Our hours have been expanded. We've added 1 hour on each end of the day, Monday through Thursday. And then on Monday, we didn't answer the phone before, so we're answering the phone now. And we're hopeful that by opening at 9 o'clock and closing at 4, that the people that are working can have a chance to come by and not only pay their bills, but if they have any questions or inquiries, they can come by and we can help them on with that. And we're also allowing for payments online now, again, in an effort to help our residents make their payments a little bit easier. There's an information table set up out here. You're going to see that at every board meeting. It's not going to be hopefully the same information. We'll kind of mix it up a little bit, and we'll have different staff from different departments. Courtney was out there today. She's our billing clerk, so if you have any questions about your bills or anything like that, she'll be able to answer it. And then we'll mix it up a little bit. We'll have a staff from water, wastewater, facilities, resources, fire, things like that, so that'll be helpful. Attached as part of my general manager's report is from Van Skojevich, which is our, I like to call him a regulatory advisor instead of a lobbyist. It kind of has a little bit nicer ring to it. And that is a report for fiscal year 2012 funding for the Corps of Army Engineers relating to the desalinization plant. That covers page 8 and 9. Behind that is some our well data information with regard to the San Simeon Creek wells and the Santa Rosa Creek wells and the associated graphs. Going on to page 15 is the board. It's the financial manager's report under expenditures. There was one disbursement in excess of $100,000 during April 11. That was a regularly scheduled water and wastewater note payment in the amount of $259,286.25. Below that is internal loans. It gives you an idea of what the CCSD has agreed upon through board direction to loan money internally. Going to page 17, and this is an important page of the financial picture of the organization. This is a schedule of our long-term debt on page 17, and that really touches on what we're obligated to, just like a mortgage or a car payment, what we are committed to and what we have to pay for, and what those loans are for, and when they end. Going to page 18, this is the desalinization report, and also report from the district engineer on some progress I think that we're making on some of these projects per board direction. So, is there any questions that I can answer regarding my general manager's report?
Director Thompson.
I'd just like to add one thing that Mr. Gruber did not reference in his report was his attendance last month at two community meetings, that being the Legion meeting and also the Chamber Mixer. And I think it was a good start to getting the public to recognize him as the new general manager. And I think what was especially good was that he attended the Chamber Mixer with several members of the staff. And I think that was really helpful in terms of, again, reintroducing folks to the organization and building some goodwill that I think that I'm sure he will continue to do so.
Thank you very much. And I also did attend the Lions meeting and finished my report before I attended that meeting and plan on attending some other events this weekend. But I always told the board it's a package deal. You get me and you get my wife, too. So it's a two-for-one. So when you see me, you're going to see her. So it's
can you sing, though? Is that
no, I can't carry a tune to save my life, but she can, so that makes up for both of us. But is there any other questions that
Director
I can?
Director Berninger?
No.
Quick one. Page 6. Maybe you can just answer this, Jerry. CCSD is partnered with Official Payments. What is that organization?
It's a web-based site that allows us, it's sort of an intermediary, sort of like that third person that allows us so we don't directly have to handle that service online. Where
like
it's just,
a PayPal kind
like
of thing?
Like a PayPal that allows the residents to be able to work through them instead of if there's a glitch coming directly to the CCSD. Excellent. But with that being said, if there's any problems, feel free to give us a call. And there's some more automation coming and some more customer service areas that we'll be working on to make it easier for our residents.
Thank you.
With that,
also, I caught that, and thank you for doing that, Jerry. I think it's important to move that along to streamline the process. It does help the administration because there's less paperwork and less interplay that they have to do administratively, and it'll help us with cash flow. The other item which we want to continue to encourage is direct debit. I don't pay any checks to any of the utilities that I deal with. They all direct debit, and it's a secure site. They're well regarded. It's used for millions and millions of payments, and it would be good too for us to do that with the direct debit, which you can get the paperwork at the office, right? Yeah. The other item too, you mentioned about bottle wells, the massive fee schedule. Just for principle, I want to bring up the fact that. And Jerry is right, they were the lowest price, but this is a professional service. When professional services are engaged by any organization, private companies, public agencies, the first thing that should be looked at is the best qualified, most professional, and most experienced people to do the job. Sometimes they are not always the lowest price. When we reviewed this, it's probably 4 months or 5 months ago, They were best quality, and they are very well. Matter of fact, they did several projects for districts and water and wastewater and so they know how to look at services and costing, but they were also the lowest cost, so it was an easier choice. But that that may not happen at all times. I liken that in the businesses that you don't choose your lawyer by the lowest cost, you choose your lawyer by the best cost. You don't choose your accountant by the least cost, but the one who gets you in the least trouble. So, you know, these are important things. The same thing with engineering. Sometimes you want the best engineer who does what he does, whether it be a treatment plant, a building, a tower, because the low-cost one may not be the best cost in the long term. So, but it is, I hope that does get started as soon as possible, because it'll work into our budgeting and operations later on as to this fee schedule. Thank you.
Director McKinney.
Follow-up. The question would be when. I know Barlow & Wells Associates, that's fine, but when would they start, and in fact, when would they end, and how would we implement?
They can start anytime. The understanding was that they would be more than happy to provide those services, or at least start the study prior to the end of this fiscal year. However, I didn't want to do that because really I'm asking them to provide a professional service that the board has not approved yet. And unfortunately, you know, I've wanted to start this for several months now. It wasn't included in the 2010-2011 budget. So as soon as the budget is adopted with this line item of $12,500 and it is part of next year's fiscal year budget, then I'll be on the phone with them and asking them to go ahead and start it.
Duration?
Probably 2 months or so. But what we're doing preliminarily to that, so they don't walk in blind, is I've directed all the staff, well, probably 2 or 3 months ago, to start looking at the existing fee schedule and start evaluating what their thoughts were on what we're currently charging for services. For an example, the fire department on an inspection is $28, where the county is, you know, probably 300 plus or things like that. So, you know, we need to be sensitive. We don't need to, you know, go full cost recovery and impose fees that are so ridiculous that it's not going to be embraced by the community. But on the flip side, for an example, like Veterans Hall, you know, there could be a flat fee for everybody as an example, and that fee would be relatively low. And then everybody, Jerry McKinnon, you know, has touched on many different times that this is the jewel of the community, and so therefore would there be a willingness to for everybody to pay at least a small amount versus waiving everything, and then that money in its entirety for the Veterans Hall and for this facility would be directly put back into the facility. So when we have a situation like the barbecue, or things like that, we can maintain this facility. We didn't have the money this year to do the floor, but I'd like to be able to see additional revenues generated. Administrative fees and things like that, there are fees that we are not collecting that I'd like to see us collect and just through administrative processes and things like that, while being sensitive to the community and not over zealous and be revenue driven, but be cost service oriented.
Any other questions? We have some requests to speak. Elizabeth Bentenhauser, you requested to speak on both 6A and 6B, so I'll give you some extra time if you need to, since Jerry did cover both of those.
Thank you very much, President Clift. I aspire to using less time.
Thank you.
I want to thank the Board of Directors for hiring Mr. Gruber, but apparently your closed session didn't quite get that all sorted out. So I hope that in the future you do hire this gentleman as the general manager of CCSD. I want to thank Mr. Gruber for quickly taking specific steps to expand the availability of the administrative staff in serving this community and to pay good attention to the community's concerns and questions. I just am stunned at his ability to work as if he were working 7 days a week in what I assume is only five. I would also like to thank him for bringing back to us Chief Miller. It couldn't be pleasanter. Now, I do have one question about the general manager's report. Let me just say a thank you, though, about the desal, and I'll come back to the question. I really want to thank the staff for scheduling the public responses to these initial studies and mitigated negative decks, of course, so that it's possible to give them serious analysis as a member of the public. I really do appreciate that. I've started studying the initial study for the geotech, and that is not easy to read. I need an acronym list and a big thesaurus often from the government. But my question then, finally, is what is the situation of recruitment for open staff positions in for a water treatment operator and wastewater operator? These are listed on the website. I hope that I should have said this earlier. I hope this little blue sheet on payment can go on the website. It's extremely helpful on how we can pay our bills. It's out there in the front, but people who aren't at the meeting, it's a wonderful example of a specific way that the service has been improved for the community. But what is happening with the open positions, which have been open for quite a while, for water and wastewater operators? Thank you.
Hello, thank you for letting me speak. My name is Janine Jacobs. I am a massage therapist here in town. I have been working with an awareness group here in Cambria on alternatives to desalinization plant, and I have been speaking a lot with a soil specialist named Jim Brownell. Now, he has informed me that using a reverse osmosis treatment with our treated water would cost one-tenth of the price that a desalinization reverse osmosis plant would cost, as with the fuel used in that process. One-tenth of the price. I was wondering if in your feasibility studies, did you ever look at that? Is there enough treated water to use for our, to recycle into the town? Is there enough volume of the water that goes through our town to use in a recycled way? Because they're doing it down in San Diego and Orange County, and they're choosing that over the desalinization plant. And that was a question I have.
Excuse me. I don't have a specific answer for you today. Hopefully, if you look back at the water studies, that did take into account recycling as one of the options. Maybe you could get together with the engineer Bob Gerson.
Great.
And could probably give you the actual number then.
Okay. Also, there is a Surfrider suggestion on their Surfrider Foundation.org website. They have a plan that I think would work here, and we're beautifully situated with the Fiscalini Ranch being just above and to the south of the water treatment plant, and there could be a holding pond up there. I hope that would be okay, but if the water were pumped up there and then filtered naturally through the soil, it would be a very natural process, and the fuel would be for pumps to pump the water up. But that's their idea of what would be good for the surf and for the wildlife. They're trying to fight that in Pismo and Avila Oceana as far as their desal plant ideas down there. And then the third plan I spoke with Greshens about was the cow ponds. If we had an agreement with the ranchers to put in sand-lined cow ponds, these cow ponds would be like a sponge, and they would absorb water throughout so much ranch land. They would be away from the streams, and they would soak into the water table between the conservation in this way and refiltering treated water. We wouldn't even need the saltwater desal plant.
What I would suggest is that you put that down and ship it to the district engineer. I know he is very actively involved in all kinds of alternative water sources. But we can't make that decision here.
Okay. Right. But are you still open to alternatives to the desal plant is what I'm asking.
I understand.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Quick question there that Ms. Bettenhauser had on
recruitment of the water and wastewater.
Recruitment of the field. Do you want to give a quick?
Sure. What we did is we expanded our recruitment to get a larger pool, and we've actually got a larger pool. What I thought early on is we were not selling ourselves efficiently. We have a great place to live. Great place to work, great benefits, good pay, and then the advertisement represented that, and so we got it out on some key websites. And so although we've been recruiting for this position for a long time, we weren't getting the caliber of applicants that we thought would be a good fit for the organization. So now we have a good number of applicants that applied for both positions, and we're going to move forward with filling those, and hopefully we'll get some good candidates, good employees out of it. So.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move to 6C, member and committee reports. Do we have any committee reports that we need to make at this time? If not, we'll...
I would like to suggest something. Right now we have two different ad hoc committees. One is reviewing and revising the fee schedule, and another one is, and another one talks about the facilities in general. What's the one that, Mike, you're on? One that's reviewing all the facilities.
Just a review of facilities.
Review of facilities, and in my opinion, the fee schedule and the review of facilities are kind of intertwined, and I was thinking that we could combine those two. And if we combine those two, we probably should have a public one of those public meetings so that we can get the public to comment about the fee schedule and the use of facilities. So it was my suggestion to the president that we combine the two. And I'd be glad to be on both. We're reviewing and developing procedures for all CCSD facilities. That's one ad hoc committee, and then we have another one on a fee schedule. So I think combining those two would, and I'd be glad to work with Mike on both of those. If Alan, if you would like to, do you have a comment on that?
I would say in terms of there are some overlapping issues on the two committees, and. I think certainly it makes sense to have at least one public meeting with the two committees present to to discuss the whole issue and to get the public input on A, the fees, and B, what the needs are in terms of the facilities. And I think that part certainly makes a whole lot of sense to have the two committees come together for a public hearing, public meeting.
Potential problem there of...
Too many directors.
Too many directors.
Right.
One point. Which?
Thompson and McKinnon are on the fee schedule.
Fee schedule.
And we've started, but it's kind of dropped off, and I think
right.
It's just restarting with Jerry again.
Right. Uh-huh. So my suggestion was that if you don't mind, I could replace you on the fee schedule one, and then we'd have just two directors combining the two functions.
How much will you pay me?
I don't know. $75. or I could do the other. I could drop off of one, perhaps.
I feel very strongly about those fee schedules.
Okay.
Maybe we should talk.
Okay. That's why we can talk.
Not
here. All right. Let's do this then. Director, you can see what the situation is there. Combine it with your meetings for the Bartles and Wells,
right?
Probably, and we come up with a recommendation back to the board for either a reorganization of those committees or what.
Okay.
Good.
All right. And then is this a time that you wanted a report from the NCAC?
Yeah.
Okay. I did meet with the NCAC. They were nothing really new. I think that people realize that the trolley's gone, and the NCAC is going to try and develop a long-range plan. We'd have to kind of guarantee the fee schedule for 4 or 5 years before Supervisor Gibson would consider reinstating that. And there would be a joint group that would be, would be multiple people. It would have to be the chamber would have to kick in. Whether the CCSD is involved in adding funds is might be up in the air. It might be requested. But they're going to try and see if they can get that back going. Ralph Cavell talked about the fire plan that he has. It's going to start this summer, he believes, about reducing the fuel around town, where his ranch covers most of this town itself. And Bruce Gibson announced a couple of solar projects that are approved for Slo County, and that took a while to get. Other than that, that's what's going on at the NCAC.
I could say for the board's information, since I'm not sure the other four members were on the board at the time that decision was made on the trolley, was that previously we had provided $10,000 a year to the trolley, which was basically guaranteeing the fee box amount. They have to come up with $14,000 to operate. And there was a decision there that related to economics, first of all, and secondly, whether the CCSD was the real party that should be funding the trolley in terms of its powers. And secondly, the trolley it goes to a larger area than just the Cambria community. It was going to the castle and other things and to San Simeon. And there was some question about whether CCSD property taxes should be used for the out-of-area type thing. The combination of all those things basically, I think that first year eliminated the $10,000 subsidy but provided a $1,000 advertising budget to as a kind of an in-between stopgap thing, and then it went to zero. So that's, and I guess for the past 2 years it's been zero, and the fact of the matter is they're probably $10,000 short on their fare box, and so that's kind of where it is right now. Whether the CCSD can find a legal reason to support it or an economic reason to support it is something we'd have to deal with in the future. All right. Any other committee reports? If not, we'll move on to 7A, or to the consent calendar, and we'll pulling 7A. Director Berger, do you want
to? Yes. The reason I pulled 7A is mainly to bring up the situation that I've noticed that there's some boards are actually signing checks that go out to get a closer view as to fiscal responsibility, so to speak. And I just wanted to, I took a hard look, and I, we have 17 pages here, I think, and I do look at all of them each month, but I've talked to Mr. Lavoisier and Mr. Gruber, and I'm offering to actually initial the check register, so to speak, this coming month, so that I can get a one-on-one view of all of the expenditures that are going on, and by taking a look at the check registers, I believe every Wednesday they're created. It would just take probably 30 minutes of each Wednesday this coming month, and I report back to the board to see if it educated me a little bit on what's really coming in and out from a from an expenditures perspective. So by looking at each check, I think it helps personalize the effort. And I'll come back and report to the board on whether I think or suggest that other directors take a turn doing the same.
Director DeMichel?
Can we characterize it as a informational audit for each of the directors? Because, by the way, on our on a consent agenda, item C is adoption of resolution of banking powers. You're not suggesting that the check writing should include a director's signature.
No. We are signatories, and they are changing it so that Mr. Gruber is a signatory.
Well,
I am not suggesting that we sign all the checks.
Right.
I don't want to slow anything down. But by getting an by looking at each check, just like you, when you look at write your personal checks, you kind of get a very close understanding of what's going out and how our expenditures are tracking and what kind of controls are in it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to clarify. This is an informational, I'll call it audit,
right,
but it's not a pending signature. In other words,
No. If
for some reason if it was scheduled and somebody doesn't show up, You're not saying they should hold the register and
no,
not pay the
no,
bill.
Not
okay.
at all. And
okay.
I would just initial the register for personal education mainly.
Right. And by the way, I'm not denying the fact that there are some issues that I would raise on the we didn't hold it, but the banking powers, we can always look at things each meeting. Yeah. But in corporate world, when you get to a certain level, no two people, even in the organization, can handle. Like, we made a $180,000 check. I don't know that shouldn't have risen to the level of a director actually knowing what the check was made out for.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that might be something I appreciate you. As you go through it, if we get there, especially when we start with the construction budgets, assuming we start making. I mean, if we put a tank up for $5 million, you're probably going to be making checks up for $700,000 a month.
Yeah.
I think at that point we have to start thinking about one of the signatures should be a board member. But that's something to discuss. It's not on the agenda. But I think it's something to, since we are authorizing under the consent powers and we need to continue to move, but I think once we all do maybe what you're talking about, we'll get a better feel for some of the disbursements. But there are going to be times when you're making out checks for $159, paid off the pump, but that was a resolution, so I feel comfortable. But when we get into the construction period, if we want proper audit and procedures, I think one of the board members should be looking at the disbursement to the contractors, to the engineers, because it's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars a month.
Right. Yeah, there are policies that I believe we're going to be changing with the
introduction. Well, we could do that in
the
policy review as a protocol.
Right.
Okay.
Director McKinnon?
Since it's been brought up on expenditures, one of the concerns we had last year was innovative concepts and their performance in providing high-speed internet service and communications. And we hired Tech Express, so we're basically spending about $7,000 a month or $84,000 a year. And I just wondered how that – they got hired. I don't know if it helped. I see no big issues that you're bringing up around that. That was an added expense above the original Innovative Concepts contract. So I'd like to know, just generally speaking, how that's transformed, how it's working out.
I'll have to see when our Innovative Concepts agreement or a contract with them is up. Al, do you know when that is up with Integrated?
I'd have to look to be sure. I believe roughly a year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half. So
two completely different things.
2 days.
Right.
One was right.
But with regards to Tech Express, that they're working out very, very well. I think the thoughts there were to have them charge us a flat rate per computer. We've reduced that computer inventory and have reduced the overall cost for computers. the whole communications network within the CCSD would probably need to be evaluated also. You know, we have Charter, and that contract's up in a couple years, I believe, and so we need to look at that. That's a considerable expense. It's, yeah, you know, $10,000 per site per year. So it's not just those two items, but it's collectively looking at all the things that we're being charged for and see how we can do it, you know, less expensively or more efficiently, especially with somebody like a Charter who we should have a franchise agreement with, and I don't think we do necessarily. They're providing a service here in the community like we do with our solid waste handlers. So I know that's kind of a long answer to a question,
but that's exactly right.
Those things, you know, you sit down and you sharpen your pencil and saying, you know, what kind of service are we getting for what we're paying?
And what do we need now?
And what do we need? And can we consolidate? And can we, through fire, possibly look at other communication alternatives? Historically, in cities and special districts, you know, those costs are always high. In our wastewater side, for an example, you know, we do not have a telemetry. We have phone lines. So when you get an alarm from the list station, every time you get an alarm, you're paying a cost for that alarm to go off through a phone line versus through a telemetry system, which is a pretty good expense. So the whole communications aspect of our organization needs to be evaluated.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, then what we'll leave it at is that go ahead and work with the general manager and the finance manager for this next month and then report back. So, Jim, okay. Can I have a motion then on item A, since it was pulled?
I move that we accept consent agenda item 7A.
I'll second.
Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Now, we need to read the items B and C. And, General Manager, if you would.
Item 7 under the consent agenda. Item B is approved minutes of Board of Directors regular meeting April 28th, 2011, special meeting April 28th and April 29th. Item 7C under the consent calendar is consider adoption of Resolution 18-2011 authorizing banking powers of the authority with Heritage Oaks Banks.
Consent items are approved on one motion. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Motion by Director Tompkins. Tompkins. I keep doing it again. Thompson. Excuse me. Put that sign over there nicely. I'll have you know I didn't like that supervisor. That's why it's burned in my brain. Anyhow, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Item 8 is hearing and appeals, and item 8A is a public hearing to consider confirming of water and wastewater standby or availability charges as provided by Government Code Section 61124B and consider adoption of Resolution 17-2011 confirming water and wastewater standby or availability charges for fiscal year 2011-2012. General Manager Gruber, you're on.
Thank you, President Clifton and board members. This is the second time that we've brought this item to you. Just briefly, on page 44, the fiscal impact, the standby availability charges and the estimated revenue for fiscal year 2011 and 2012 are as follows. The water, we're estimating $177,000, and the wastewater is $115,000. And these numbers are reflected also in the proposed budget that we're bringing to you in a draft form. The discussion is attached as Resolution 17-2011 for review and adoption after the public hearing is held. The board previously adopted Resolution 14-2011, which established the standby and availability annual charges at $45 for water and $30 for wastewater for properties of 1 acre or less with higher fees for properties over 1 acre, as described in the attached financial report. The specific fee schedule is shown on page 1 of the attached financial report. The itemized report for water and wastewater standby or availability charges by parcel has been available for review at the CCSD office and available today at this hearing. What that means is we did not attach it as part of your agenda packets because it's so it's a lot of different APN numbers and things like that, but to follow the letter of the law, that those APN numbers and the list of those lots that will be assessed the standby availability charge is here for public review. On page 45, there is a brief legislative background along with water standby or availability charges, wastewater standby or availability charges. At the bottom of page 45 is CCSD policy summary. We briefly touch on page 46, again, what these funds will be used for, which is capital improvement program. Again, we touch on a little bit on fiscal year 2009-2010 actual and the 2010-2011 estimated revenues for expenditures. If you go to page 47 to give the public a little bit better idea of what these fees are proposed to be used for or could be used for, is the Rodeo Grounds Pump Station Relocation, the Stewart Street Tank Replacement, desalination, Pine Knolls Connection Pipeline, Wastewater Treatment Collection System Improvement and Upgrades, Alarm System Upgrades for SCADA. Attached past page 47 is the resolution that the board would need to adopt. And if there's any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them at this time.
This is a public hearing, so I will open it as a public hearing to the public. Is anyone from the public? I don't have any requests to speak. Does anyone wish to speak on this item? If not, then I'll close the public session and bring it back to the board. What's the board's pleasure?
I move adoption of Resolution 17-2011, confirming water and wastewater standby and availability charges for fiscal year 2011-2012.
I'll second that.
Does that need a roll call or does it? Yeah. Clerk?
Director McKinnon?
Aye.
Director Berenger?
Aye.
Director Thompson?
Aye.
Director D'Amico?
Aye.
And President Clift?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0.
That takes care of 8A. Let's go to 8B. Consider adoption of Resolution 19-2011 declaring a public nuisance for annual fire hazard fuel reduction program. General Manager Gruber.
Thank you, President Clift and board members. Starting on page 50 is a staff report 8B. Each year, the fire department conducts a fire hazard fuel reduction program. We call it the FRP to abate vegetation and hazardous wildfire fuels. This program is carried out pursuant to the authority contained in Government Code Section 61100T as in Tom, and the Health and Safety Code Section 14875, and is initiated by the Board of Directors' adoption of a resolution declaring a vegetation and hazardous wildfire fuels of the identified properties to be a public nuisance. We have approximately 1,867 vacant lots within the CCSD, and the fire department inspects those for compliance. With that being said, this has been a real collaborative effort between the fire department and the administrative staff. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Chief Mark Miller, and just tell you a little bit about the program, how it's implemented, why we do it, and there are some slight changes on the horizon with regards to this program that I think is going to be a little bit more user-friendly and ultimately will result in weeds being cut not so prematurely. I think that in previous years we had a tendency to knock them down and then they would grow back and then there would be issues if they were cut or if they weren't cut. So with all that being said, I'll turn it over to Chief Miller, and we also do have Captain Bitto with us, and he kind of has been running this program for years and has been doing a good job. So thanks, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I want to take just a second to say thank you to the board, General Manager Jerry Gruber, and the community for having the confidence to reinstate me and bring me back. It feels good to be back. I'm looking forward to a long and community-oriented approach to the service levels and stuff in the community. Feels good. Thank you. The fire hazard fuel reduction program is on us again this year. It's always been a very difficult and convoluted process for us to run through to try to work backwards from the county tax assessment roll, which has always placed our abatement season a little bit out in front of where it needed to be. We've looked at some positive changes this year that we're recommending to make the program more effective for fire purposes and to try to streamline it to make it more customer-friendly and try to eliminate that concept that we're generating revenue by way of the program. We want to make it friendly to the point to where we're just advocating voluntary compliance to get the lot owners to want to clear their property. There's been some changes that we've wanted to make for a while, and we were able to do that this year, and we're feeling pretty positive about it. I have Captain Bitto with me, who is prepared to go through and outline some of those changes and answer questions that you might have in reference to the program. And we also have some printed material out on the desk out front that'll outline some of the time frames and stuff that have all been moved back about a month from where they were.
Capital. Good afternoon. The main change that we did this year was to bypass the requirement to have to follow through on the county tax rolls. That really kind of put us behind the eight ball, as the chief said. So this year we're going to be, with your approval, going to be doing direct billing ourselves to the lots that end up going to contract. That's the main change for this year. Is there any questions?
Well, you're also changing. I want to make sure we all understand. Just the functionality is going to move in time a little later than we normally would, because you're not going to have this artificial mm-hmm. deadline that you had to meet, which was an administrative thing. We want to get the best out of fire protection, and I'm understanding that the fire department, Mark.
We're going to be about.
You're going to say that's we'll be in a better position by waiting a little later. I mean, everything is pretty moist now, and it's to cut everything now, and it's going to grow back in 2 months or whenever. Just for a point, though, when do you think you'd actually be doing the inspections, and when would you be engaging in cutting anybody who doesn't comply?
Well, the deadline is about a month later than it was last year. And by this, going this route, it allows the fire chief the opportunity to basically declare fire season when it is fire season in Cambria, not when it's in Paso Robles, which, you know, they have a completely different. Right. By May, everything's dry over there, and they cut their weeds, and that's good. It doesn't grow back. Last year we had a real problem because of the deadline. We had 6-foot regrowth. And we can only require the lots to be done one time under there. And the weeds are not getting cut in time. So we have because of the board meeting is the 28th instead of the 21st. So that's given us a little bit of extra time. So I do plan to do more inspections more frequently this year. The last number of years, the inspections were done just one time. And then there was like 1,700 lots that had to be inspected in 2 days. And that's a lot of work. So to get out there, we're working with the Wallace Group. They're making us a whole new set of GIS map boards that are going to be a real benefit, I think, to the program and allow the inspections to be done probably a little bit more easily for me and out there driving around doing them and have more accuracy. That's what we're trying to do. Are there any other questions?
Any other questions?
Just one clarification, though. The reason we did the timing is always about the issue of, let's just call it recalcitrant people who don't pay for it. We want to be able to file. Yeah. We are not foregoing that. We're just waiting for the follow-up season.
Right.
So we're still expect that if the CCSD has to engage a contractor to cut a lot, it'll be invoiced, and if invoices aren't paid, we do have still and reserve our rights to use whatever means, which would be a lien. So we're not avoiding that, and we're not saying we're changing that, because the community needs to get compensated for work that's done by the
fire Correct. Department and if contractors. And we still have the requirement on there that if yes. if they don't take care of their parcel in due time, that the contractor will be hired. The work will be performed, and the folks will be billed. What we're going to try this year is to have a system where we're going to be doing the billing, or maybe through the Wallace Company to help us with that, and then have kind of an incentive program built into that. Our fee is $400 service administrative fee, or basically a penalty that's on every parcel. Say it takes $200 worth of work. The fee has been $400. Every year. So we're trying to put in there that if they give them 90 days basically to pay, and then it would only be 50% of that. So if there was a $200 bill, they would only owe $400. They'd only owe half of that. And if it goes over the 90-day period, then they would owe the full penalty. And so we're hoping for that might give people some incentive to just go ahead and pay us. And then the following year...
And if it's made easier by people paying earlier, obviously there's less administration going
Correct.
On forward. Yeah, appreciate that.
Any other questions?
No, I think. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Carmel, do we need to have a formal public hearing on this?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so I'll open it as a formal public hearing. I have at least one request to speak. Amanda Rice.
Thank you, President Clift. Most of my questions were answered. Thank you very much to Captain Bitto and Chief Miller for providing those answers. I do want to comment on the positive changes with the timing being more appropriate for when the clearing needs to be done, and the changes with the billing are also really good. Curious that about the Wallace Group and are they going to be paid out of the $400 administrative fee, or is that fee going to be going to the fire department directly? It's always been kind of confusing to me. You don't know how many lots necessarily are going to be need to be cleared and charged that administrative fee. So I mean, it can't possibly be $400 if you have one, and $400 if you have 50. Because if you do one, that person's time is. So I was just curious about whether part of that administrative fee is going to be paid to the Wallace Group, or is that going to be coming out of the fire departments? And hopefully that GIS information will be available to the other departments as well, and to build into the system that hopefully is being built for the GIS. And the direct billing, so instead of going directly on the tax bill, did I understand correctly? Instead of going directly on the tax bill, the fire department will bill you first, and then you can, okay. Because that's also, I think, a very good change, because I had a neighbor who had an issue, because he had cleared his lot the week before the inspections, and because it happened so fast, he didn't even really have a chance to say, hey, before it was already on his tax bill. So I think the community will really appreciate those changes. Thank you.
Any other requests to speak on this? If not, then I'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board. Any discussion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Roll call vote.
Discussion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, there's one item I thought that right, would be important that wasn't brought out, which is, again, unique for this coming year, isn't it? Section 5?
Yes. President Clift and board members, on page 52 of the attachments as part of the resolution, At a public hearing, this is an opportunity for the public to, at a public hearing shall be held on the proposed abatement of vegetation in the hazardous wild, land fire fuels on the 28th of July, 2011 at 12:30 p.m. at the following address, which will be here at the Veterans Building, to provide an opportunity for all property owners having any objections to the proposed removal of such weeds to be heard and given due consideration.
Okay. Yeah. I think it balances out and shows the community we have a due process program here and that we're following as much as we can community outreach.
Any other discussion? District Clerk, roll call.
Director D'Amico?
Yes.
Director Thompson?
Aye.
Director Berenger?
Aye.
Director Vice President McKinnon?
Aye.
And President Clift?
Aye.
The motion carries 5-0.
Okay, we're going to move on to regular business, and we're going to start with 9B, consider adoption of Resolution 21-2011, approving proposal from Rockwell Construction for SCADA Phase 1 installation.
President Clift and Board of Director members, the staff report 9B is for an item that has been probably going on for some time within the community that's related to SCADA. We do have an ad hoc SCADA committee, and that is Director Berenger and Director D'Amico. And we did meet. We spoke with Thomas Klein, who is now with Rockwell Construction Services. Thomas was the design engineer for CyberNet when we designed and purchased this SCADA system, Phase 1. Phase 1 SCADA system is for our water system. Phase 2, you'll hear it talked about, but that's for the collection system and wastewater. Technical knowledge and historical knowledge about this to prepare us a budget. In other words, what is it going to cost us? What is it going to cost the CCSD? What is it going to cost the ratepayers to get this thing up and running in its entirety? There's a twofold issue here. There's the installation and there's the startup from a software perspective. And so what this staff report is asking the board to approve, and there is money within this year's budget, is to provide the board with a detailed budget down to the penny with regards to what it's going to cost us to get Phase 1 of SCADA up and running, complete turnkey operation. The advantage to this approach is that we'll have a dollar figure, we'll have a detailed budget breakdown, and then we'll know exactly how much it's going to cost us to get Phase 1 up and running. With that being said, I think that Director Berenger and Director D'Amico probably have some valuable input with regard to the process that was agreed upon and why that they may feel that this is the best alternative and the best way to go for us.
I'll just make a brief comment. This money would have had to been spent anyway. The contractor is going to be actually doing the work. He's going to verify all the equipment being here and the work would have had to be done anyway. And this way we'll be able to have one number that we can work with, and we will be assured that as much as possible that we'll be able to remain within that budget without change orders and other issues. So I support the project.
Thank you. You hit one of the key elements of the reason we're doing this. I mean, in my own perspective, I would have agreed had we gotten a full proposal, and it was reasonable to support the full proposal. But what you got to remember, and I'll just give some dates, the award of the contract was in August 26th of 2004. In May 15th of 2009, and by the way, thank you for, where's Bob? This was Bob's spreadsheet. I keep it. So May 15, 2009, we actually witness test all the hardware and software. So that we're 2 years behind, almost to the day, to the month, of getting this thing up and running. So we need to do that. But one of the things that you have to understand is that system has been sitting there for 2 years, and we wanted to make sure as best we could and as best the contract to get the installation done. The reason this is important, and that's where Jim just mentioned, Director Barringer mentioned, is one of the biggest things you have with dealing with construction is what's called the hidden and the unknowns. Well, here we have our a provider who's going to be able to see everything, and to be honest, he's going to have a hard time saying, I didn't know that, because we paid him in advance to do his due diligence. So, now, one of the other things I want to make sure that we, and I appreciate it, Jerry going through the detail, are two other tasks here, which I think we've been held to task during our discussions about desalination and everything, is we will also, part of his responsibility, their responsibility, is going to give us a annual software maintenance budget and finalize and propose the turnkey, which will also give us a proposal and cost, the installation, and the annual software. So we're going to know what the longer-term operating cost to keep it up and running. And that's important because people say, well, what's it going to cost to keep it running later? We'll have that as far as at least the software and the maintenance. Obviously, if something burns out or needs to be replaced, that's a maintenance issue, and our staff or any of our contractors will be able to do it. So I think this will give us a nice tight cost for which we can make the decision, and I hope positively, to go forward and have this up and running, at least as far as I'm concerned, hopefully by the end of the year, if not the first quarter of next year, so we can be ready for next summer and have our water system well monitored and operating very well.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. 2004, so that's 7 years ago. This hardware has been sitting around somewhere?
No, I'm sorry. No, 2004 was when we started the project.
Okay, when did we get the hardware?
It was actually delivered and tested and bench tested at a place.
2009. And at that time, did we have good justification? I mean, benefits to the community, benefits to the district, as to what is it going to save? Is it going to save people? Is it going to be, what was the, I never did see, and that was before our time, a justification for this project. And I understand, was it $700,000 that we've committed so far?
Let's make sure.
Roughly, you know, I don't.
It's over $1.3 million.
No,
it's
what closer. So far? That
so far, yes, $700,000. I don't know what the latest number is. Yeah,
We at that time, way back then, and it's gonna
eliminate one or two or three staff, and you say, okay, we're gonna be able to show these cost savings. In this particular instance, and I'll let Chief Miller, if he's still here, did he leave? Comment on some of those issues. The first and foremost, with this SCADA system, a lot of it had to do with fire protection, fire related issues as regarding our reservoirs and our wells and things like that. But as we move forward, the information that we gather from these sites is going to allow us to be able to tabulate information that we would never be able to have before. So for an example, we go out to a well right now and we have a lapse time meter on there, and it says, okay, that well within a 24-hour period is around 6.2 hours. What it doesn't provide for us is it does not provide for us the start and stop of those wells. It does not provide for us the tank levels. It does not provide for us at what point during a 24-hour period was our highest demand. Those will all be given out in a report form. So the true value is when we go to talk about releasing meters from the wait list, and we're in a dialogue with the Coastal Commission and with the county, if we were to go to them and say, okay, you know, one of our wells ran 6.2 hours, the information that we'll get from SCADA will be able to provide us any kind of report that we want as far as the instantaneous demand, when was our highest demand, when do we need the most amount of water during a 24-hour period, is it on a weekend, is it on a holiday, what kind of demand flows do we have during fires, how many stop and starts we had, what's all those, what they're called I.O. points, in points, out points. So to answer your question, was there a detailed cost analysis? At some point in time, the governing body, the board, determined that it was a priority and it was an important thing to do for the community relating to fire flow and operations. So if we were to reduce a staff member by having this, the payback would be a significant amount of time. I know it's, I don't know if that answered your question or not, but.
I've heard that response in different ways many years ago. And we did automated systems, both vehicles and conveyors and so forth, and it interfaced with SCADA. SCADA is throughout any manufacturing or warehousing operation. And what I'm concerned about is just the, this is necessary. I'm not objecting to what is being done, but I, at the end of view.
One of the other advantages to having a SCADA system is that we run the Santa Rosa Creek and we run the San Simeon Creek wells. And from a groundwater management, ground basin water management perspective, you know, we may, through the data that's collected through this system, be able to establish a completely different pumping regime than what we're doing now. I'm not saying that could happen, which would allow us essentially to reduce energy cost. It could allow us to be more sensitive to the streams and things like that. So there's going to be information that's going to be made available through the information we get from SCADA. I guess the question is it comes down to this. We've spent X. We've spent, I guess, what, $700,000, and we have really nothing to show for other than this thing sitting on a shelf.
Yeah.
Do we want to spend another $100,000 or so? I don't. Maybe even a little more to get it up and running and functioning, to determine if we want to go to phase two or phase three. I think we're going to be criticized either way. I think we're going to be criticized if we don't get it up and running. I think we're going to be criticized more if we don't get it up and running because the money's already been spent. I think we'll be criticized by spending money to get it up and running. It's one of those things, darned if you do, darned if you don't. But I think that since the money's been spent, I think it would be in our best interest to get this thing up and running and see it through to its completion.
Well, it certainly behooves us to continue to get the data that we can make an informed decision. It also, when you say $100,000, I think that's kind of a no-brainer when it becomes a small part of the overall cost to do phase one. That would be very significant. I have no clue as to what this will give us as far as an estimate to do phase one. But if your point was even close, that would be very significant. So I look forward to just seeing what happens. It's an important study, but I'm also concerned at the end of the day, it's sunk cost right now. It's been spent. You really can't sell the equipment, I wouldn't think, at this point.
You know, let's back off that, I mean, as far as I'm concerned. If there was no SCADA here today, if we hadn't spent a dollar, I would hope that Jerry would endorse it, we should be putting a SCADA system in.
For what reason?
For number one, and generators and pumps will give us a better preventive maintenance program, which yields a benefit, and there's studies on how much better and how much longevity you get on your equipment. Number two, in a water and wastewater, easily one full-time equivalent between the two. Let's call it $100,000. That's $1 million investment. Yeah. So $1 million is paid just by the ability to maintain a certain size or minimize. We're already cut down, so it's just we don't have to gear up anymore. We have an issue, too, and the data is important because you're making multi-million-dollar decisions like with the desal. Do you know no one can tell me, anybody can correct me, Bob can correct me, we don't know what our peak day flow is. Do we know what our peak day flow is? Or peak hour?
Is this on? I guess it is.
Yeah.
During the master planning process, we went through that and we had multiplying factors. With Kenny Jink's work, this is going back 2004, so I'm a little sketchy on some of the details. But as I recall, it was about maybe a 4.5 to 1 for a peak hour, you know, compared to your average for the year. We have that in the.
Bob, is it based on data from Cambria?
Yes.
We don't have pumping logs. How did anybody do that?
I believe it was through discussions with people like Jim Adams, our operator supervisor.
What I call common knowledge.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's the issue of what this system does and control. We talk about, you know, we've got wells in two different areas, the Santa Rosa and that. We have a little treatment facility up by the school for the wells up there. We may have a treatment facility over here behind the town when we get those other two wells back in service. We have a sewage treatment plant. And this, by the way, there's another phase just to put equipment in. The server, essentially the computer and the technology, is already here. And the wastewater is going to be added by incremental equipment installation. So we've, you know, it's something that every utility has, every well-run utility has. It's been proven out, and I will get you articles if you wish. But
you're going further than I.
Well, the point is, I don't want the community to think the justification
see, look,
is there.
He's talked about the optimizing mm-hmm. of well usage. You're talking about maintenance of equipment. Right. That's just exactly.
And here today is really the budgetary aspects of everything that's going to be needed to put phase one in operation, which is going to give us another time to say cost value numbers. Mm-hmm. Because, again, Jerry, you said 100,000. Well, you know, is that 98.3 or is that 149? Less, you know.
Yeah.
So I think we'll have the ability. I'm going to go ahead and support this simply because it gives us the data to make that decision as to whether this is something, a value cost decision.
Jim, do you? No, if it requires a motion, do we have a motion on the?
No,
I move that. Okay.
Let me take some public comment on this. Amanda Rice.
I should sit closer to the front, but I need the deep breath on my way up before I speak. Thank you, President Clift. Just a question. Something that was said kind of perked my ears up. So we're paying a contractor to do his due diligence. Seems like the contractor should do his due diligence as part of doing the job. Is this going to be the person that will get the, is this going to go out to bid after the person evaluates the equipment and makes sure everything there and then puts together? Are they helping us build a bid, or is this person basically seeing what's there and then going to give us a price for him to do it, or his company? So that was just, I fully support having SCADA. Having the information is absolutely 100% critical, and missing information is never a good thing, especially when you're trying to plan for a community this size with the water constrictions we have. So I definitely support SCADA. I'm just curious if this is then he's going to pay $21,000 and then his company is going to get the job for the prices that he lays out. I just need the clarification. Thank you.
Okay, now, any other? I have no other. Are you paying someone to propose a job that they're going to do? Mm-hmm. And I had some discussions with more learned friends than me, and my understanding is that the product that we receive from this company is our product. We're the ownership of it. We could evaluate at that time whether this company can do that job or go, you know, other places. And I had the same question as, you know, I'm used to putting out a RFP for something and having them propose it. But this happens to be a unique situation in where we really have to know where we're at and so that we don't just get a lot of proposals and have to try to figure out which one is really right, and then are we into overcharges, or I missed this, or something else. So this one, I had that same concern, but I think it's been alleviated in my mind anyhow. Any other discussion?
Well, in the industry, when there are proposals, even on construction projects or design for engineering consultants, I did a lot of work in Virginia, most of the people in the state of Virginia, they pay the designers to make the proposal because they want to own the proposal, because when they get good proposals, and should they decide not to use the engineer, the proposal and his good proprietary thoughts are available for them. If not, you really have a problem in giving that to any third party. And I, by the way, I'm no way, shape, or form intimating that we're trying to shop a project for someone else. But dealing with them, and we had two good long discussions, telephone conferences that I was and Jim was in on. Again, I think that Manager Gruber did show, the background of the person happens to be with the new organization. We know somebody knows it, but we want them to do the due diligence. Now, if something comes up during this work, which we then have as a document and ownership to, that causes us some concern, then we could theoretically or actually go out and look at a competitive. But then he will have done due diligence. I mean, right now we have a lot of stuff that I don't know that there's anyone right now can tell everybody what we have and how good it is. Somebody's got to do that. Well, the deficiencies, let's start working on change orders. We hope, not that we're not going to have any change, we hope to avoid a lot of that by getting them to do due diligence. Now, if something comes up where the numbers become so outlandish that we can't live with it, then we'll have to, punt and go to the next plan. I think it's a measured step. Again, you wouldn't want to look at a $120,000 contract and then find out you have problems. I'd rather spend the $21 now, get them convinced of what's there, what's not there. The price they're going to give us is based on their own assessment, so they can't say we misled them, and therefore we'll get the best price so we have the least cause for concern later.
All right. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Can we take a 5-minute break? Let's do that. Which is received draft fiscal year 2011-2012 CCSD operating budget. General Manager Gruber.
Thank you, President Clifton and board members. Worked really closely with the finance manager, the executive committee, as I indicated earlier in my general manager's report, and also each one of the department managers on what their needs were. Spent a great deal of time with the fire chief, the wastewater supervisor, administrative staff, water and facility and resources. What we're proposing today, and I'll just outline some key points of the budget, is the received draft budget of the 2011-2012 operating budget and presentation and provide direction to staff. That's what we're asking for today. The fiscal 2011-2012 CCSD operating budget establishes the CCSD's plan for total anticipated operating revenues and expenditures as follows, and a net surplus, this what we're projecting, a net surplus of almost $80,000, $79,361 is projected. Just real quick, if I could, water enterprise funds, the total revenues that we're projecting for the expenditures being $3,650,284. Just to note, the governmental funds include the general and resource conservation funds and are combined on the CSD audited financial statements. For discussion purposes, attached is the draft of fiscal year 2011-2012 operating budget for review. Some key assumptions within this budget and highlights are included in the draft budget. The most significant assumptions are there's no change in the water and wastewater sales from 2010-2011. a 1% decrease in property tax revenue from fiscal year 2010-2011. The only projected deficit is the $14,380 in the Resources Conservation Fund, and that would be absorbed through the general fund. And there are several ways that we can address this deficit, and Alan and I will be more than happy to answer any questions. And that could be through the master fee schedule. It could be an upswing in the economy. It could be more fees collected through the rental of the Veterans Hall. So that's a pretty minor amount as a deficit, which will be covered in the general fund. The utilities matter position will not be filled for fiscal year 2011 and 2012. Total maintenance and repair under key assumptions, major maintenance capital outlay expenditures would increase by $162,300 for the total projected for the fiscal year of 2010-2011 in the water fund, and will increase by $115,751 for the total projected fiscal year 2010-2011 in the wastewater fund. If you go to page 55, what we thought would be important is just definitions that really give you an outline of what different terminologies are used within this budget. Those pages are from 55 to page 57. If you turn to page 58, and we'll answer any questions after this, page 58, total operating revenue is $7,433,034. If you go down to the bottom of page 58, total operating expenditures is $7,353,673. So it's a reduction, as indicated earlier, of almost $80,000 with this budget. The board shares, as far as major maintenance and capital outlay for the water department, we'd be more than happy to discuss these with you. I know that the rehab of the Fiscalini tank has been an item that's been on the budget for several years, and nothing has, very little work has got done on that, and so we're committed to working with some tank people and getting some temporary repairs made to that budget. The meter upgrades, these are not the meters that are in everybody's homes. These are large 2-inch meters that there's 10 of them, and they need to be replaced because we're losing revenue because they do not record on commercial facilities at a low usage. They only record usage above, let's say, 15 or 20 gallons a minute. The Main Street service line upgrade, that is an old system that needs to be replaced. Pineway water line repairs, valve raising, water line replacement, the Ponderado here, cathodic protection, which is a system that's used to protect our tanks, the raised Windsor vault, the SR4 stream bank restoration. The bank at the SR4 well at the high school is eroding away. We need to do some work on that. And then the water yard shop roof. And then relocate 3 meters, abandon a 2-inch water line at Hesperian. And then radios. The radios are, we've gone from wide band to narrow band. And so the radios are the radios that are in the vehicles and at the base units at the water yard. Page 63 is wastewater fund. Page 64 is the wastewater department collection system evaluation. The board has determined that one of their priorities is to evaluate the collection system, so we did put money in there for that. We are in the process right now of doing a GIS for our collection system, and that's completed almost. The aeration basin is something that needs to be done. I won't go into a tremendous amount of detail, but there's some major maintenance that needs to be done at the wastewater plant. The digesters, again, major maintenance needs to be done at the digesters. We're going back to an aerobic process, and we're doing away with the enzymes that we're using. Handrails are a major safety item that need to be looked at. The Orlando sewer line. This is for an engineering analysis of what it will take for us to. We have not had a preventive maintenance program in the past, so what I'm proposing is that $10,000 of this $20,000 be used for a preventive maintenance program that would change the oil, those type of things, make sure these generators, when you do get a power outage, they automatically change over and they run and they're reliable. And the other $10,000 would be needed for the maintenance of those things, replacing old parts. Lift station B, for an example, their generator there, which was our main lift station, is about 35 years old. So from a capital perspective, we're ultimately going to have to look at replacing some of our generators. I did put $30,000 in for phase two and phase three. I don't really know the board's position on whether they want to pursue SSMP phase two and three. The board did adopt phase one of SSMP. If they choose not to move forward with two and three, then maybe we can take some of those monies as long as they're allocated and put them back into the collection system. Radios, again, is for that wide band to narrow band changeover. Dissolved oxygen control evaluation. We have no control of the air that's being used at the wastewater plant right now, and so there's a possibility for some significant reductions in energy cost if we were just interface some dissolved oxygen probes into the motors that we have there. And then we have 10 lift station panels, all of which need to be replaced. So we've put in the replacement of two. You got to start somewhere. So at least replacing two lift station panels at two of the key lift stations will get us 1/5 of the way there, and then we'll have eight more that I'll be bringing back in years to come to ask for those to be replaced. Page 65 is the general fund fire department draft. It's pretty straightforward. Again, in this part of the budget, we did pay off the vehicle, so there is significant savings as far as what our annual payments were for the fire truck. Page 66 is the general fund administration department. Through all these departments, our goal this year is to keep costs down and to redistribute revenues to areas that we felt were the highest priority. Page 67 is the general fund facilities and resource department draft. Again, this isn't funded in its entirety through the general fund, and this is an area that we need to work on, and this is an area that we need to possibly generate some more revenue through facility rental fees and things like that. So we could lessen the burden on the general fund. The goals of the PROs and kind of where we, you know, what are the priorities of that commission? They were giving direction several years ago, but we want to kind of refocus that and make sure that everybody's on the same page as far as PROs and FERP and everything like that. So. Page 69 is Resource Conservation Fund Department. Just real quickly on this, there is an opportunity for us to capture, if you will, more revenue relating to remodel fees. I think that we can do a better job in that area, and so that's kind of one of staff's highest priorities right now is getting our arms around the whole conservation program. It all interrelates to providing people to come off the wait list. So I think this is a nexus to allow us to do that from a strategic standpoint. I know that's a lot of information. I think it's a budget that does not represent an increase. It's a budget that represents about an $80,000 surplus. And so with that being said, I brought Alan with me also if he wants to answer any questions. So.
Directors? Director McKinnon?
Just a comment. I think the public should realize, in fact, that if we look at the expenditures of 2011-2012 predicted, we're back at 2009-2010 level, and in addition to that, with a surplus. And finally, two things that were eliminated that gave us a big plus. The federal advocate has not been included in the budget, and that was roughly $75,000, as well as the general manager taking on the utilities manager's position, another $120,000, so roughly $200,000 in savings. So compliments the staff on a really good budget.
And that's something that we may want to get direction from, you know, collectively. We made some assumptions that the board does not want to renew the regulatory advisor's contract. I did speak with him, Greg Burns, directly for about a half an hour, and at some point in time he wanted the opportunity to discuss that with the board, but that's a board decision. This budget does not represent continued use of his services. So from a
maybe we do it differently. Maybe we don't have somebody in Washington, but I think there needs to be outreach and continued discussions with maybe Barbara Boxer or whatever, with our representatives, and perhaps there should be something in the budget to at least get that introduction forward. I would be more than happy to have him discuss what he feels the value is, because I'm not necessarily against having funding a lobbyist.
Director Thompson?
Yeah, I would really echo that statement. I think that discontinuing that effort is a policy issue that should perhaps not necessarily happen through the budget. I think it should require a separate discussion as to whether or not we want to continue that effort, and if so, how do we do it? And so I'm not sure whether I support entirely eliminating that line item myself.
I do have a couple questions. One is the SSMP. I missed that one. What is SSMP? Do you know that?
Sanitation.
Sorry. The SSMP is a sanitary sewer management plan. It is a state mandate, and we did bring phase one of the SSMP, which I completed, and to the board, and they approved that. SSMP is phase two and three. Is a program that for your collection system, and we did get a proposal from the Wallace Group of approximately $30,000. There is also a pretty high operational cost associated with implementing phase two and phase three of SSMP, from a monitoring standpoint, from a compliance standpoint, from making sure that our ordinances are in line with the counties as it relates to grease traps and what they call fats, oils, and grease, fog. So is it something that we want to do? Is it something that we feel like? My only concern is, yes, it's mandated by the state, but how realistic is it for us with our limited staff of four people to really implement the program? I don't want to spend the money and have it just sitting on a shelf, and then the board going, okay.
I also noticed public outreach. You have $3,500 in there. I'm expecting that we're going to have more public outreach than we had in the past. Is that just maintaining a website, or what is that line?
Is that under administration?
Yeah, it's on page 66. Public outreach and education, maybe. I don't know what's in that.
The administration part, the main part of it is the maintenance of the website. There's public outreach also in other departments. For instance, the fire department, that's the things they buy to hand out to kids, et cetera. You know, fire safe materials, things like that.
But if we have a couple of EIRs that are coming, environmental impact reports, we're going to have public
That would not be part of this.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Or if we had a session to regarding fees, and we had a special one, would that be?
That's never been recorded as public outreach. Right. No. The having any public meeting like this where it's televised, that's recorded under professional fees, because every meeting does cost about $1,000, but it's not in there.
Most of the public outreach in the past has been the fire department pamphlets, Fire Safe, Escape from. I think they have several different ones in there, how to maintain safe areas around your house, things like that. It's been that kind of items, plus the website. I'm not sure what else was involved. I'm trying to think in the past.
Newsletter, the district's newsletter.
Yeah.
Underwater, the meter monitor program, we falls under that since it is subsidized by the CCSD.
Uh-huh. Director Thompson?
Generally, in terms of preparation of the budget, how was the budget for each department developed? Was it in consultation with the heads of departments, or were they given a dollar figure that they should aim for, or how are the priorities reflected in their in their input?
It's a very good question. I think that this year that was elevated a little bit. I would like to continue to involve department managers. It's always been that way. What we do is we project the amount of revenue. The list was much larger than what the budget shows right now, and so we had to sharpen our pencils and say what truly is our priorities, and so there was that interaction. Next year, or even if we're redirected to modify this budget, I think it's important that there's that interaction between the departments and then the general manager and the finance manager on what they view as their priorities and I bought off on them. I think that what they brought to me was in line from an operational perspective on what was a high priority and what was not. So it was an interactive process. It's different than a city budget. I mean, I think, you know, a city budget, you pass a budget and the next day you start working on the budget again. And that's just, it's a long process. It's a year process. So when I came on board, I started asking Alan, you know, when we're working on the budget, you know, and it's 6 months from now, just simmer down a little bit. But so it's a little bit different, but some of those things that I liked about a city budget, I'd like to incorporate into our budget, which means that it's an ongoing process. I probably spend more time with Alan than anybody else in the organization for a couple reasons. He's teaching me more. I ask a lot of questions, but we're really in touch with what's going on as far as our fiscal house. I think that's important. And so as far as revenues and expenditures, I think we spend a lot of time together. In the future, could that possibly include some kind of committee, an ad hoc committee? I think that would be a good idea. I'm receptive to that. I think that it needs to be a process that involves the board, other than just here asking you to approve a draft budget. I think that's good for a whole bunch of different reasons, transparency and to get you involved early on in the process. So I'd be receptive to that also.
And the assumptions for the fire department includes current level staffing and any anticipated salary increases and so forth?
Yes, it's all the current staffing. And at this point in time, their contract, because it's tied to the Social Security rate increase, there's nothing budgeted for increase because their MOU does not call for any.
But I plan on working closely with the fire chief on his budget, since it is the largest of all department budgets. So,
and to be clear, no increases in fees or additional revenues anticipated other than what's current level projected?
I didn't want to project additional revenues on something that hasn't been approved by the board yet. I think there's opportunity for, once the master fee schedule's done, I think there's, and then again on the remodel fees and things like that, and then some of the things we talked about within fire inspections, I think there's opportunity for us to capture some more revenue. But for me to project those revenues on a schedule that has not been adopted by the board yet would be premature.
Okay, thank you.
And I have a question. Is there any consideration of having multi-year budgets, maybe a two-year budget or a three-year budget, so that we can start salting away some funds, especially for infrastructure repair? I don't know what our I'm going to ask what our depreciation is per year. But whatever our depreciation is each year, we should be salting away so that if we need to do some major infrastructure changes, we should do so.
That you are correct. That is often cited as the target for your capital reserve funding. To answer your question, the combined water wastewater depreciation is roughly $1.1 million a year. I forget the exact breakout. I do know that's close to the combined. It's larger in wastewater. The plant, of course, is quite expensive. So that is a target. Not too many agencies hit it, but they, you know, that's what you do shoot for. That's very common, again, as your target anyway.
All right. So if we have a surplus of $72,000, we're about a million short. So I think that the public should realize that a rate increase isn't, you know, we're not fat here with $72,000. People are talking about crumbling infrastructure. I think we have a good one, by the way, but in due time, the bill's going to come, and so we should be salting money away for that.
One thing to keep in mind, though, this is a operations budget, and that's talking about a capital budget, which this is not. But if I may ask one thing, Mr. President, you know, as the staff report says, you know, we're asking for 09, if memory serves. I don't think it was 10, for the ACE payment. And that's how I treated it here for lack of information. It's not me making the call. That's the board's decision. I just had to call it something. So I put transfer or apply to the loan from the general fund. That being said, the balance of the loan is $157,000 now, and there's between the 2 years roughly $200,000 shown applying. Obviously, you don't need $200,000 to pay off $157,000, but to say what's going to be used with the water surplus is one point of direction that we would ask. If nothing else, it's going to have to be decided to finalize this year so we can do the audit. Any surplus funds, how would those be treated?
In the past, we've transferred that to the capital budget of that individual department, right?
Well, in the past, there hasn't been a surplus to transfer.
But if you go in the good days.
Right, but there wasn't this loan outstanding to pay off.
Understand, but that
yes,
loan.
That is certainly true, in, like you said, if you look back. And that is certainly an option for
but,
this
but
year.
But that loan is a zero-interest loan right now, right?
Correct. So. And it's keeping the money within the CCSD.
Right.
I look as a matter of principle in thinking if you're not going to pay it off, why carry the loan? Uh-huh. You know, the board could, you know, we could come forward and say forgive the loan and then, you know, it would just be treated as a transfer, which for years that's what was happening. General fund transferred to the water fund over $3 million in the recent years. The board can decide to do that for the $157,000 balance, pay it off, or let it ride until other monies are available.
Okay.
So there's no real dollars there. It's just reclassification essentially of the money.
A check would not be written. It would be moved. Basically, if the board did decide to pay it off, the note would go away, basically, as far as that goes. And it is strictly an accounting function.
Right. Yeah. So your recommendation is for the board just to do that?
It does come to fruition, or at least $158,000 approximately. Pay off the loan from the general fund out of that. Then the $28,000 would be... You could either put it into water operating reserves or water capital reserves, as the case may be.
Oh, okay. I was looking at the wrong number. I'm looking over here at the $28,000 for next year, not the $170,000.
Right.
So that's an amount in excess of the loan aspect. So go ahead and pay off the loan, and the remainder of it go into capital.
If the board so desires, yes.
And that would
Can
be,
we get consensus?
That would be my motion, if it's a motion. Or
I don't think we necessarily need a motion right now on it, because
right.
Director Thompson, is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's say consensus is treat it that way, and then we'll approve it in the budget when it comes to final.
Thank you.
Yeah.
President Clip, is there also a consensus with regards to the regulatory advisor, and do you want to give staff direction with regard to?
Yeah, I was going to come back to that. I don't think there's I don't think there is consensus right now on it. I can count a couple of votes each way. So what my suggestion to the board is that you have maybe Mr. Burns make his case, and also you might take a look at alternatives. Is there another way to do it, or is it just $6,000 a month and that's the only name of the game? Or is there a range of services that are less than what we're getting right now but yet could keep us in contact with Feinstein's office and Boxer's office? So let's let him kind of make a proposal, because we do have some in here for professional services that are kind of that we might expect in the future. So, and then bring that back, and I guess the board can make that decision in the final budget.
Is it the board's desire then at the June meeting, although that may be an uncomfortable situation, but to have Mr. Burns possibly come and, when you say give a presentation, he could probably do it written, but that hasn't really, I think, resonated too well with the board. Well, you talk that with him. I'll discuss that with him. So.
I guess what you could discuss with him is that there's willingness to talk about retaining his services, but there's also concern financially about it. And what suggestions does he have? Because right now you were looking at a $72,000 or nothing,
yeah.
And there may be kinds of services that are necessary for us, and that he may say, I can do this and this for you at certain times. Director right. Thompson?
Yeah, and I think I'd also like to know what our alternatives are, other than just if we don't retain his firm, then what? And I think that has to be part of the discussion.
Yeah, is it theoretically possible that we could budget some trips and contacts with Feinstein and Boxer's office staff, even here within the state,
right,
on a regular basis to do maybe from the board level some public contact? I know lobbyists sometimes have better contacts with certain people, but that doesn't mean we can't establish. I mean, we found that we've been able to establish with Senator Blakeslee and them to the point where they've done some very good work for us. And there's maybe there is an alternative program that is a $1,000 or $2,000 a month alternative that gives us at least contact with their staff and the people. And. And maybe it's a more direct community approach. Maybe we take each time if we go to see them on a quarterly basis, we take a couple of community members with us. Let them see the voter's face. I'm talking locally, Jerry, not to Washington.
I might add the incentive that we had way back was the reports from the advocate that did say the constraints in Washington, the budgetary constraints, particularly with the Army Corps of Engineers, would say that you're not going to get much bang for the buck this year. But I do think that he did make and did have an impact, and that should be
with anybody, with the Corps. We're not connected with the political powers that be, and we at least need an introduction, I think. And a better understanding of what he's doing, because really, that's unfortunately the price you have to pay. The lobbying is everybody else is doing it, and if we have no voice at all, we'll lose the opportunity to move forward. That's my opinion.
If we have some public comment on this item, so let's take that before we go any further. Elizabeth Bentoncourt? Oh, Bentonhausen. Excuse me. I'm doing really good today. William Bentoncourt.
Well, thank you, President Clift. It's been pronounced many ways.
Are you a tennis player, Elizabeth?
No, I did it in college, though. Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Bentonhausen from Cambria, a full-time resident here, and I will, I hope, not speak too quickly. I have all this written out, pretty much. I want to commend the financial officer and the general manager on what they did on pages 62 and 64 in specifying the capital outlay possibilities. I know that on the agenda today, there was also the possibility that the capital projects would be defined more carefully and specified. That didn't get through producing today, as you saw in the DSAL report. So I hope that at your June meeting, we will, quite apart from this operating budget, also get the specifications for capital projects that are coming up. I want to thank the financial manager again and the general manager for an extended, more detailed line item budget. It is possible here to see where expenditures are going when in the past it often wasn't. There were general categories that specified almost nothing, so I thank them for that. In regard to this, it would be useful, I think, for the community to have an updated list of employees and positions of the CCSD. I don't know now what is the full-time equivalent staff, what is the full-time staff, and what are their positions. We used to have that, but many changes have taken place in people leaving, et cetera. So it would really be helpful to replace on the website the outdated organization chart and put it up to date also with the subordinate staff, not simply department heads. Then two major items that I think are policy questions, although the first one might not be. Do the allocated partly covered by administration overhead personnel charges? Approximately 212 of the total expenses then for the staff and administration would need to be covered by revenue other than allocated overhead for personnel. Property tax and franchise fees within the administration department would cover that. So I'm assuming that all of the costs, salary, wages, and benefits, are covered by allocated overhead charges. That still leaves, then, for the administration, $313,000 plus for operating expenses. Now, there's a detailed list of operating expenses, but I recall back in Prop 218 discussions, there was a lot of discussion about overhead costs. So I hope that the board is clear about what you're approving when you approve this current budget in that regard. Then one more item. I think we have continued to have had for years, going into the next millennium maybe, very confusing departmental designations in the CCSD. Now, there have been some discussions today that I want to refer to quickly here, too, but my first question before I got here was, how are the Facilities and Resources Department and the Resource Conservation Fund Department related? You have in both of them resources. The resource conservation is, according to the finance officer's report today, basically a lot merger program. That's the only bucks that are really shifting around in that one. So how about changing the name of the Resource Conservation Fund Department to the Lot Merger Department, or to raising money by doing new fees, something other than repetitive use of the word resources? Also, listening, however, to the general manager explain some of this today, I think there is a definite need for a definition of the word conservation. If we have a resource conservation department, what exactly are we conserving in terms of resources, and how are we doing it? Because conservation was the number one choice in your water master plan, I would certainly want an investigator into this analysis that you've got with departments to define what you mean by conservation here in resource conservation. And if you are looking at that as a possible, as I heard, a possibility for opening up wait list meters, you've got a major public policy issue here that I think needs discussion. Quickly, the 58 Facility rents have been defined in the highlights as rental fees reserved for the use of the Veterans Hall. On page 58, though, it says that facility rents have brought in an income $68,000, or that will be, that's a projected income. But on page 68 for parks, where Vets Hall is, there's zip for facility rents. They aren't bringing in anything. So there's some confusion here about what facility rents are, what's a facility, and how we're going to understand the names of the departments. Now, my last question, if I may. How come there's such a reduction in the allocation of property tax to parks and recreation? I think this is a major policy issue, even if it's only going from $42,000 to $23,000. It still is almost half of that property tax income is being reduced. There's no staff for parks and recreation. And indeed, who was the budget head then in the budget meetings who represented parks and recreation in trying to ask for more finances? I know you have two ad hoc committees pertinent, I heard this today, to this and the master fee schedule process. I would hope that you would look at the issue of these three departments and how totally confusing it is, at least to me as a ratepayer, on what exactly these departments cover and how they're going to be funded and why. Thank you.
Thank you. Second speaker is Amanda Rice.
Thank you, President Clift. For a previous English major, Ms. Bettenhausen has a pretty good handle on numbers. I commend her for that. I'm not so good with them. I must have missed that class. I have similar concerns to the ones that she voiced regarding the different departments, resource conservation, parks, and facilities, and it's easy to get them confused. The resource conservation is partly because it's one of the goals of the California Urban Water Conservation Council's MOU, of which I believe the district is still a member, and it is very lacking in any kind of public outreach, which is essential for resource conservation, because you're asking people to be more efficient with their water use. And when push comes to shove and you need to ask them to, for those areas of this town. And I think that's really critical. There's also seems to be a lack of an overall long-range vision of what we want to achieve in some of these areas. And it would behoove the board, I think, to look at what are the policy priorities. And when we say that the resource conservation, which is supposed to be about practicing best water management practices, is coming out of the governmental funds and not out of the water rates, it seems to me that might be something to look at. This community is pretty smart about the way they use water. All you have to do is look at the water production numbers over the last 20 years to see that. It's gone down. Not even just in the last 10 years when our population went down 200, but our housing went up. Number of meters went up, number of people went down. But the actual amount of water we use is less. So we're not stupid about it. But it would be good to let people have better tools for being good water users. And that could easily be reflected in this. And I look forward to some of those policy discussions about how you are going to communicate with the community about what is the vision of Cambria and how can this agency make sure that it is a vision that the entire community can buy into. Thanks.
Thank you. Next speaker is Jerry McKinnon.
Jerry McKinnon, a resident of Cambria for a lot of years. And I'm speaking to you concerning the page that says General Fund Facilities and Resources Department. My vocabulary being rather restricted, when I look at the word facilities, I think of structures. When I look at resources, I think of Cambria with its open spaces. So when I look at the facilities, I think of this building. And an offset to that, the toilet paper that's used here would also be used in the public restrooms. And the operation of this building would be well defined. We understand how many dollars it takes to operate this building by looking at past history. I'm sure the monthly financial reports could be analyzed to determine how many dollars were spent on this particular building. That'd be a very simple operation. When we look at the financing of the building, of course, there are two sources of money. One of the property taxes and the other are the rent fees. Now, there's supposed to be a discussion of the rental fees or discussion of fees, which, of course, is water and wastewater, but there also could be a discussion of the fees charged for the use of this building. And when we look at the history of this building, we can go back several years, 13, 14 years, and see that this building would be rented more than 900 times a year by different organizations. I think we don't even come to tenth of that now, what we used to do. And if we changed our feeling about this building being a public building and making it more available to the community enterprises, such as having a wedding reception, those kinds of things would utilize the building. We would raise the revenue to support the building, and we would know how many dollars we have and how many dollars we're going to have to take from the general fund. Now, all we need is just another page. If you go back 13, 14 years and look at the budget, probably before some of you came to Cambria, you would see a page for the Veterans Memorial Building, the number of dollars that were allocated to the operation of this building. It seems like such a simple, simplistic approach, I know. But if we watch the pennies and the nickels and the dimes, we'll take care of the dollars later on. So please give it another consideration as having a special page for the Veterans Memorial Building, and if you want to put it under facilities to include the public restrooms, that would be just fine with me. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's all the requests I have to speak on that. I'll bring it back to the board for any additional discussion. And just has it as a part of the water operation. Is there any legal impairments to that or any... because the water department would be, in effect, saying... You know, they're controlling the in-lieu fees and these kinds of things and bringing revenue in. And even though you might restrict that revenue to conservation, they're in total control of water usage conservation. So it might be a way to take away the confusion of names. And the same kind of thing, even though, Jerry's asking for a separate page, and I'm talking about combining pages, so Jerry, you and I might be a little different here at this point in time, but that doesn't mean you can't have a line item that meets your needs. The facilities and resources, is that not possible to combine parks and recreation with those two things together?
I'm definitely not aware of any reason why not, since those are already both general fund departments.
Right, they're general fund departments. Fund.
And this is just what I was informed was the criteria of separating the two. If in the process, be it of doing a trail, building a trail, obtaining the park or whatnot, the Biagini House, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, Guthrie Biagini yeah. House. As those are being done, now we don't own that, but if right. if that had been our property, in the process of doing the work, again, making a trail, the costs were captured in the revenue, if there's grant revenue, in Parks and Rec. And then once it was completed, the thinking was, okay, this is now a resource, or in case of a house would be facility, and then it's part of facilities and resources. So there already is some intertwining, it just in terms of the time fact, you know, what's yeah. being done, but it's the same thing. The trail at one time would be in Parks and Rec, and it ends up in facilities and resources, so combining them certainly would be, you know.
I'm wondering if that would ease some of the problem of this allocated overhead and allocated, you know, so we're not trying to pick up 3% here and 6%
party funded. We still have the department that we can use as a vehicle for applying for grants and things. So I, unless there's a real reason to combine it, I would suggest that we just leave it the same and just keep it out there with the limited funding that's applied to it.
And was the combining, was that an effort to make it more understandable? Maybe it's just renaming some of these things to make them more clear.
Because actually, I would think it's almost the other way around, where you would move some of these funding designations to recreation of parks, for instance, the trails money. Perhaps that should not be in facilities, but should be under recreation and parks.
There is no trails money. Let me clarify that. It was just when they're being built, we've received grant funds. Once the trail's done, we receive no funds whatsoever for them. We don't get additional property taxes. So there would be no funding to put in parks and recreation related to trails.
Well, for instance, open space maintenance. That would more likely be a recreation and parks responsibility than a facilities.
Actually, that's generally open lots that aren't used for recreation, just the lots that have been retired for the build-out reduction program. There is some on the parklands, but a lot of it is unrelated to parks there.
It may have to do with how we define facilities, or facilities or resources, what we have there. I was just trying to think of, since if this one is all water anyhow, maybe that one ought to go over to part of the water budget.
Actually, I believe it was looking at years past before I was here. There may be a problem with it in terms of getting our points to allow a meter to be
yeah.
sold.
I understand that.
I think
that.
It's possible you need a separate department. I'm not sure.
Okay. I just want to make sure we have a real reason for it rather than it just be part of something else. Anyhow, and I'm not suggesting that we necessarily change it this year. I'm just, Director, General Manager, did you have a?
May I suggest maybe the President and Vice President that all the things that have been discussed today, maybe prior to us, our next board meeting, we sit down and we work these things out and bring it back as what's being proposed by the different board members, and then we can
for this building and if possible separate those items out so that we, when we do talk about fees for the building, that we then have a clear understanding as to what would be an appropriate level of a fee to help pay for the items that we need to maintain this building.
Yeah. The finance manager just leaned over and stated that he would really feel comfortable if the auditor had a chance to weigh in on some of these things prior to us making any final decision on the final. I don't know if that's possible between now and. Yeah, we'll find out. So we're making sure that we're doing everything in line, but we'll work on that. So, yeah, okay.
Further discussion? If not, this is just an informational item at this point in time, and it'll be back to the board at the next meeting. I would like to say I am impressed that you were talking about $500,000 less than last year in the budget. which reflects the way I, in the general overall of about a half a million less, and that is good for everybody. Okay, let's move on then to 9C, consider adoption of Resolution 22-2011, approving the application for statewide PART program grant funds. General Manager?
Thank you, President Clift and board members. Previously, the board had directed staff to work collaboratively with the Coast Union School District for utilizing shared resources, shared services. Prop 84 was an initiative passed by California voters that would allow funding, a specific funding mechanism for agencies, public agencies, to apply for funds for parks. We are that public agency. We've worked really closely with the Coast Union School District, had plenty of meetings, and what we're bringing forward today, and let me just kind of, if you don't mind, just let me read this, and I think it would help you understand a little bit more. In order to address the shortage of community parks and athletic field resources, that the CCSD and the CUSD would seek funds in the amount of $3.5 million to construct a facility. In order to apply for grant, both the CUSD and the CCSD must adopt a resolution authorizing submittal of the application. The form of the resolution is set forth in the Proposition 84 Grant Application Guidelines, and a resolution has been prepared conforming with its requirements for consideration by this board. In addition, the grant process includes a land tenure agreement, pursuant to which it must be demonstrated that there is a right to use the property on which the proposed facilities will be located. In this respect, the CUSD and the CCSD has negotiated a Memorandum of Understanding, an MOU, relating to the construction of the facility that would be provide the CCSD with rights to construct and use a facility that are to be constructed at the Santa Lucia Middle School for a period of 30 years in the event the grant fund is obtained. That's the $3.5 million. This MOU has already been presented to the board for its consideration and approval at this time. Since it is a necessary component of the grant application process, just to note, if the grant is awarded and the project ultimately constructed, the MOU provides that the CCSD and the CUSD will subsequently enter into a joint use agreement that will further provide for the joint use of the facilities by the CCSD and the school district. So with that being said, I'll open up to any questions that the board may have regarding this.
Yes, I would wholeheartedly support this, and I know the PROS Commission has been actively working with the general manager and also in terms of the public hearings that have been held to determine the types of facilities and operations that the community would like at the middle school. I toured the middle school about a month or two ago, and it was just appalling the conditions that the field is in right now because of gophers I mean, if you compare the grammar school with the middle school, it's just night and day in terms of the quality of the facility. What's important to remember here is that while the school district would have control of the operation of the resources during the school day, after hours would be available to...
Jerry McKinnon got last month, but why isn't this not on the rodeo grounds? Why is this not in the fiscal meeting? Area. Why wouldn't we apply for the $3.5 million?
It had to, and Jerry, you can, there was a requirement of the grant that it be within a certain area, and I can't recall exactly what it is, and could you enlighten us on that?
Well, there's several variables. You know, when you're applying for a grant like this, you want to pick a location that optimizes, I guess, the probability of you getting funding, one of which is a radius that establishes a an income base, and that was one of the criteria within the grant application. The second is need-based, and if you have an existing facility that at the middle school, as Director Berenger said, that is in really bad shape, then that is more points, if you will, for the grant process. The East Ranch, which you're referring to, adjacent to the rodeo grounds, we did enter into an agreement with the county, and the county funded us for an environmental study. That facility, that area right there is obviously or should be considered for some kind of park. Whether that park is a passive park or a park along this nature will obviously need additional community input and with regards to that. So the park, if we were to build this park, let's say, at that site, water would definitely be an issue. How would you get water to that area over there? This proposal is going to be a sand-based field, which is similar or exactly actually to the middle school or the elementary school, I'm sorry. The elementary school had problems associated with their sand-based field, but they've worked it out and the field looks absolutely fantastic now. So one of the questions that we had during these public forums, and we had several of them, multiple public forums, and we've had over, I believe, 500 surveys taken, which is part of the application process, was a concern for water. And although this has not been designed yet, conceptually what was being proposed is a sand-based field that would enable rainwater to provide the overwhelming majority of irrigation for the field. So it was quite a few different variables. Also, in that joint partnership that's required, us as a public agency, I don't necessarily know that we would have met the criteria if we would have decided to say, okay, we're going to do it on the East Ranch. By partnering with the school district on their site, we already had that partnership, if you will. So I think initially I was part of those meetings. There was some preliminary discussion about the East Ranch, but I think the consensus amongst the group was, and if it wasn't shared,
baseline conditions are already there.
Right.
It should be a much less onerous process. I also know, I mean, the heart of this is it's highly competitive funding, and the broader the benefit, particularly when youth is involved, the greater the likelihood of success.
Yeah. But somebody was talking about the vision of Cambria and the CCSD district, and I think one of the things in our vision should be to have some facility on the East Ranch, and this will be a hindrance to it because, you know, there'll already be a facility and people will point to that. Also, the demographics of California and certainly of Cambria really isn't going to sustain a middle school in some, you know, if there's budget cuts and facilities being closed. Cambria isn't going to be high on the list of retaining the middle school we have. That's an opinion. It's maybe wrong, but my guess is that our elementary school even is going to be tough to retain with the demographics we have.
Director McKenna?
One of the questions I had was on the MOU, 8-4, for the school district, and that makes sense. For the weekends, is that up for grabs as far as public use versus the dedicated to school?
As I understand
2.2,
it.
2.2,
excuse me. Any non-school
time would be.
Any non-school times will allow us an opportunity to utilize the facility.
And the elements of this park. You've had workshops already as far as suggestions. I remember Steve Niffen coming and talking to us about the survey and what things should be included. Has the public gotten a good shot at it versus just the school dictating what the elements will be in this park?
I think what we did is we tried to establish a base that would represent the entire community, also reaching out to the San Simeon area and things like that. So I think from a geographical and socioeconomic perspective, I think it was really well done. Mm-hmm. There were five or six key people represented different interests within the community that went out and spoke, and so I think it was pretty broad based. We had a meeting at whatever we might want to have at some point in time. It's a beautiful piece of property. Whether that's a passive or active, or I think it's equestrian or whatever, but it has a lot of promise there also.
I have one question on the MOU. The maintenance of the project site shows a shares of 65% for the school district, 35% for the CCSD. Is there any estimate of what that amount projected would be based on what they're doing at the grammar school or something like that?
Yes, part of the criteria for the permit process was to, at least to the best of our ability, give an estimate on what we felt was a somewhat accurate figure on the operational cost to maintain the facility, remembering that a lot of the costs are already absorbed by current district staff, meaning the school district staff. They have the people that take care of the grounds, that type of thing. And it was rated about $100,000. So you're looking at a 65-35 split would be about a $35,000 a year annual cost to the CCSD for $3.5 million in grant funding. Now, what's interesting is I talked about at the Santa Lucia meeting that we had with the community is that it's really similar to what is, you know, you look at the Fiscalini Ranch and some of our other open space areas right now, and it's been discussed about funding for those. Those fundings are coming out of the general fund also. It would be a reoccurring cost for the CCSD. It is about $35,000 a year is what the business department at the CUSD came up with.
Okay. We have some public comments on this. Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
Thank you, President Clift. You just asked one of the two questions I had, namely, what is the estimate on maintaining the project annually? I have a subordinate question to that from comments that the general manager just made earlier. In looking at Fiscalini Ranch Preserve or the middle school, and if I understood you correctly, if I understood the general manager correctly, there was reference made to the income base as well as the need base being a reason to choose middle school. What is the income base will CCSD be obligated to provide to this as yet to be designed project? I fully support this community getting soccer fields. I fully support some place for the teenagers to play that's not just going back to their grammar school days, which they don't want to admit they ever had, really. So I think it's a wonderful cooperation, but there seems to be a little ambiguity in why we need $3.5 million, although we would get all that if we got the project, the maintenance costs, and then what the income base is. Thank you.
And Jerry McKinnon.
Thank you, Jerry McKinnon again. Thank you for the clarification of the 35%. I just used my little calculator. At the end of 5 years, compounding the 4% cost of living and all that kind of stuff, wages increasing and so forth, it's going to be a bundle of bucks by the end of 30 years. So whether or not we can allow ourselves to budget those kinds of dollars for that 35% cost is going to take some investigation, I would suggest. I am concerned about definitions once again. When I look at page 84, it says the proceeds from fees for use of the community park and athletic fields shall be used to cover operation costs. There's probably some definition of operation costs someplace. And then for the maintenance of the project, then their maintenance costs will be $65,000, $35,000. and there should be a definition of maintenance. So those things I don't really know, and it really doesn't make any difference if we've already made up our minds that $35,000 is what the maintenance costs are. Is the striping of the field, is that a maintenance, or is that an operation? Who pays for the lime to stripe the field? When it talks about the difference between the community park and athletic fields, I suppose that will be defined someplace in the negotiation with the school district. But there are several problems that are ahead of us that if we get this, we're going to have to make some resolution in order to resolve them. Still, my primary concern...
General Manager, what's the your reference on income to the fees that could be charged?
Yes.
Okay. Director Thompson, do you...
Yeah, I just wanted to, again, reiterate the fact that these funds are specific for grant funds for a specific purpose. They can't be used for anything other than what's specified in the RFP, and so we're trying to put together a proposal that would be responsive to the RFP, that would have a decent chance of being funded, and for a very important purpose, and that's to provide some important, very needed playing fields for our young people and also for our older folks who have absolutely no access to recreation, and so I think it's important that we move forward with this, and I think it's little enough cost if in fact we do get the funding to pay for this type of resource. And I would urge adoption of the resolution.
Amanda, I have a request for you to speak. Was it on this item? Okay. All right. What's the pleasure of the board?
I move we adopt resolution 2211. Have to go further. Read that. Approving the application of state park program grant funds and resolution 23-2011, approving a memorandum of understanding between the CCSD and CUSD regarding joint use of Santa Lucia Middle School Athletic Field, Proposition 84, statewide park program.
I would second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Not all those in favor, say aye.
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 I'd like to abstain.
And one abstention. That's three votes, so it passes. Okay, we're going to move on to...
Well, we still have to take separate action on the MOU.
What?
We'll have to take separate action on the MOU.
Oh, we have to take... He did them both, but we'll...
Did you combine them?
Yeah.
Then it's fine. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the combination.
Yeah,
that works.
That works okay? All right, fine. All right, then we'll move on to item...
Road repair. When I came on board, I was tasked with obtaining some kind of formal agreement or a lease with them. It's taken a little bit longer than I thought it would. And hopefully next month I'll be bringing another agreement to you with the county also. But in particular, this one... we were able to work out working with Dave Flynn and Linda Fleet from the county agreement that we thought was, I don't necessarily know, equitable. We're not going to get rich on this, but at least a fair amount for them to at least acknowledge that they're there, which is $100 a month and $75 for utilities, 30 of being electricity and 45 for water and sewer. One of the benefits that the community has for this facility being there is during storm events, whether those storm events are flooding, down trees, high winds, there's been a real collaborative effort between the County of San Luis Obispo and the CCSD from a historical perspective. When trees go down or there is flooding, they're readily available from that location versus having to deploy from somewhere else in the south part of the county. One of the things that I was able to also do, because I was asking for a significant amount more than this, and that's probably why it took so long to get the lease agreement, is that they would pay us for back rent, if you will. Did not include this $12,000 in next year's budget because I didn't know if it would be agreed upon or not. But when this is approved, then I will send an invoice to the county for $12,000. As we move forward with the rodeo grounds project, there is a clause in this that would allow them for within a 30-day period, if we were to give them notice, to vacate the facilities. There was another area of concern with regards to base material that they were storing there, and since then that's been removed. So what I'm asking the board to consider today is adopting Resolution 242011, approving the San Luis Obispo County lease agreement at the rodeo grounds. Thank you.
Any discussion, Director Behringer?
No, I was going to move for approval.
Oh, you were getting ready to vote. Director McKinnon?
Only question I have is, why did they now agree to this $12,000?
I didn't know. It seemed like this was owned by Yi and Yang or somebody. How did we acquire that property? Was it?
No. At one time, I believe it was. How we acquired the property would require additional research on my part. They did reference it in my early correspondence with them that it was owned by those parties, and we may have acquired it through the acquisition of the ranch. If there's anybody that has a historical perspective on it,
but I just don't know.
I just don't know, but I'll be more than happy to find out for you.
It came along with the ranch? Okay.
Sure.
No, I mean, the county was there before the ranch became...
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so when we acquired the ranch, we acquired the county at the same time.
it would just be interesting. I recommend, or I move that we approve the lease.
Can I get a second? Okay.
Negotiate for squatting.
No further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. And with that, I have no further business, so we will adjourn. We don't have a public comment period. I will allow it, Amanda. If you sat there all that time.
Thank you, Mr. Clift. I appreciate the consideration. First thing I want to say, I may not have the context of Van Skoik, but I also don't cost as much. Give me a call if you need a regulatory advocate. Could probably give you a much better price than $6,000 a month. Locally, I don't want to go to D.C. or anything like that. That was a joke. Second thing is I just want to put out a little reminder that just last week the county did reaffirm the 0%, the number of building permits for Cambria is still 0% until July 1st, 2012, and they'll be reviewing that again next year in April, May, and being ahead of the game so that this agency is ready when they're ready to look at whether they're going to give out any building permits for Cambria. Will be a real